Hey, why am I his sidekick, all right? How do you know he's not my sidekick?
Welcome to Fireside.
First off, welcome to Fireside. We'll be talking comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes.
Already lasted longer than Firefly.
Stay tuned, Mitchie's got the creepiest news.
From books to TV, even movie reviews.
Plus the next toy, baby, here will you choose.
Even a superhero fight club will we usually lose.
So popping those earbuds, turn up those speakers.
Feel Mama's power, Earth 2 with features.
And either listen by weekly or you can binge us.
We got it all, baby.
Are there ninjas?
So relax and lie back as we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show. This is Fireside Chats.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti. And with me, as always, are my wonderful sidekicks. First, Mr. Moshko.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Wow. The most anticlimactic one of all.
I'm starting from square one. We're going to attempt to get an intro one of these days.
Yeah,
the
hip hop
thing. If you like it, I'll keep going with it.
Enjoyed it. It's a fun little guessing game right beforehand.
Right.
And then there's Maurer.
Beep you!
That's much better.
Menti.
That was much, much better. Much better. Although next time around, cut the beep a little short so that way the beep and the you just flow into one word.
All right, I'll try that for you.
I think you got it because that little pause threw me off. But other than that, welcome to the Wednesday show. If you're new around here, that's where we talk about the news. Nobody's going to say it because he's still not here. New news.
From all around the comic sphere.
The new.
Ooh, bring him back news. An oldie.
That's right.
All right.
Or we could talk about comic related.
Current events.
Comic related.
Current.
Comic events. Related.
Current.
Events.
He just comic doesn't want related. To say. All right, we're done. We've butchered that horribly. All right, so we got a lot of things that we want to talk about. A whole bunch of news since we're catching up from last week. We've got the return of not only Batman, but Superman from the 80s and 70s.
Grim details on a Ninja Turtles death.
And WandaVision gave us the reveal that we wanted.
Kinda. Sort of. The one that everyone saw coming.
Yeah, from like day one, we're like, hey, you know who that is?
I feel like if I took the first part of her first name and the last part of her last name and put it together, I'd get Agnes.
What if it was the first part of her last name and the last part of her first name?
Well, it'd be the first part of her first name.
Agatha? Can we get to the comic news?
I was going to spend way too much time on that. That was a good call. let's just jump right into it. Let's start with Ninja Turtles because
let's make some turtle soup.
If we're that was wrong, especially with the story this is. I was going to say like we're all big turtle fans, so of course they're going to go first. But the first thing you talk about is yeah, we're going to eat them.
Yummy.
So okay, has anyone been reading The Last Ronin?
No, because I want to read it all at once. And I have a feeling this is going to have a delay in the middle of it.
Oh, probably.
I can't do that to myself.
Can you give a breakdown on what it is?
It is in the future. There is only one turtle left avenging the death of his mentor and brothers in a darker, more nihilistic version of the city they live in.
And didn't Eastman, they came back for this one too.
Yeah. So this is a story they had an idea for years ago. That never really got done. And since they've kind of been mending the bridges and going, you know, softly towards working together again, they decided they wanted to put this out and it's been a hit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Across the board, the art has been revered. There's so many variant covers that everybody's searching for.
Well, this
people
is
are the first going print, nuts over it.
The first print is the highest selling comic they've ever had. Like in that company's history, it was IDW.
Yeah.
I think it's IDW. It's the highest selling comic in the history of IDW. So it's right now it looks like there's going to be what 4 to 5 issues. The first one, first off, spoiler alert for anybody who wants to read this, cause I'm about to spoil the first 2 issues. So spoiler alert right off the bat. The first one is we find out who the Lonely Turtle is, which is the most shocking, I think, of them to survive.
Is it really?
Kinda. Kind of. So Michelangelo is the last surviving turtle. And this is a very dark Mikey. This is not your normal. This is a Mikey who's been through it.
So there are theories that have been through the turtles that Michelangelo was always really the most talented turtle. It's just because he wanted to find balance in everything that he acted the way he did. But it was true ninja training. Like, he was hiding in plain sight, almost like a drunken master.
As much as I believe that, just everything I know about Michelangelo for so long, you would think that the first person to make a mistake, like going into this next, I have a feeling that each issue is going to tell us how a turtle died. I have a feeling that's how this is going. And the first issue tells us about two major deaths, actually three, two major deaths, one kind of death. But I have a feeling that the next issue is going to be another turtle who dies. We get another flashback. I think this is going to be a lot of flashbacks. But our first flashback here is a wounded Raphael is shepherding a very, very wounded Splinter into April and Casey's home. And when it looks like Splinter dies, Raph can't handle it anymore and decides he's going to attack the foot. And the reason why they're so mortally wounded is that the foot and the turtles made a truce. But then all of a sudden the foot backs out on that truth and attacks them all at the same time. So it becomes just an onslaught of foot soldiers when they weren't prepared to fight. And we know the turtles, it's a whole big deal about being together. So it seems as though they got Raph and Splinter when they weren't expecting it. Splinter took the brunt of it. So when Splinter looks like he's about to die, or potentially just does die, we'll guess we'll find out in the next issue. But when he potentially dies, Raphael decides, all right, I'm taking on the Foot Clan by myself, a very Raphael move. He rushes at the Foot Clan to find, what can I think of her name?
Karai.
Karai, thank you. Running, is anybody who's unaware, Karai is Amato Yoshi?
Yep.
Right, no, not Amato, it's Orokusaki. Yep. Orokusaki's, no, it's Amato Yoshi's daughter.
Shredder's daughter.
Is it Shredder's daughter? I thought, is the comic based on the new cartoon? Because in the new cartoon, I think it's Amato Yoshi's daughter.
We'll have to look this up because now that you're saying this, I don't know which future this is of.
Oh, that's a good point. Like, what book is this? Or,
is this a future off of the original book or off of the new book?
Very good question. So, Karai's one of their daughters in the Foot Clan. Who has a, like, she had an off and on thing with Leonardo. Like, she's been a pretty major character in the Turtles books for a bit. Anyway, her and Raphael kill each other. And it's pretty anticlimactic.
Did anybody not see Raph being the first turtle to die?
Come on. I could see one of them being killed to make Raph be the reason that he dies. Like, I could see Donnie being killed because he gets like sniped or something. I could see one of them going out in a very anticlimactic way. I could see, and that being the catalyst to why they would take them on.
Well, I think Donnie will die next.
Yeah. Although Leo will absolutely be the last.
And then Leo's going to die either protecting Mikey or him finally losing his shit and almost pulling a Raph.
I can almost see him doing a samurai's death. Like, I could see him getting so messed up that he falls on his own sword kind of thing.
So in the movies, Karai is definitely the daughter of Shredder. That's all I'm seeing. So
in the movies?
Yeah, 2014.
Which one was the? Oh, in the new? The Bay Turtles?
Yeah.
Oh, she's in the Bay Turtles ones? Because I thought in the Nickelodeon show that was a whole big plot line of how it turned out that was actually Splinter's daughter and that Shredder corrupted her.
Yeah, we'll have to check. This is probably following the most recent IDW run, so we'll have to go through there. I got up to Donatello's death and then took a break from the book.
That stupid book. That book cost me so much money.
Really did it. So much money.
Well, for comics, yeah. That was one normal Wednesday. One normal comic book day. Was
for
spent
comics,
on
that
just,
was a lot of money.
Yes, for comics, it was $60, man. That was my entire pull list for 1 week.
$4,000, $5,000, $6,000. That's a lot for a comic.
It was a book that was out for a week. not a book that's been that CGC slated that came out in the late 90s, early 90s, late 80s.
All right, moving on to something that did come out in the late 80s.
Ooh.
We're getting a sequel.
Segue
to Batman Returns.
And
Superman.
Yeah, we don't know which Superman, but
you
Superman.
Don't know which one. So we're finally getting the, and this has been rumored for quite a long time. I remember talking about this years and years ago that they've wanted to do this, but we're getting a DC Comics sequel to Batman 89, Superman 78. So we get to see possibly a Robin in the Tim Burton universe.
No, possibly. There's unquestionably he gets a Robin. Mm-hmm. No question at all. He's getting a Robin. It takes after Batman Returns. Superman, Lois doesn't know who he is yet. So I'm guessing that's, well, no, because she gets her mind wiped in the one where she finds out who he is anyway. I don't know which one of the Superman that works off.
Probably after the second one, because I think generally that's where they cut everything off. When we got the Superman Returns movie, that was a sequel after the second one.
Hmm. And I believe one of the original writers of the movie is coming back for the Batman book.
Yes.
Which is kind of cool. I mean, look, with the success of Batman 66 and Wonder Woman 77, it kind of makes sense that they would keep this going. I mean, they did so well that Marvel ripped it off with, what, X-Men 92 or whatever that was called?
Yep. Well, you also have to, and, you know, we've been saying this for years now, pay attention to the toys. There has been so many Batman 89... toys being released in recent years and statues.
Just within the last year. Yeah.
In the last year, we've gotten 4 different Batman figures. We just got a whole bunch of different Catwoman from Batman review statues and stuff. The Penguin from there has been coming out. Like, the toys kind of lead into this. So I have a feeling they test the waters. Who's willing to spend the money on these higher end collectibles from that? Mm-hmm. And then go from there.
You don't think it had anything to do with the Flash casting announcements?
No, because the amount of time that goes into the pre-production of those toys would have preceded when they made that Flash deal.
Yeah, there's a Tweeterhead statue of Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman that's like $500-$600. The amount of time just from the sculpt to production to everything is...
And the approval.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably looking at almost 3 years of development on that.
But we're also talking about, I mean, I know the toy market's big, but it's still somewhat niche. You're going to tell me that a wildly expensive toy of Michelle Pfeiffer is the litmus test for whether or not a cheap comic book is going to be, like, I just think it's a popular story. Like, I don't know if the two connect, because the book's not, like, it would make more sense to use the book as a litmus test to see if people would buy the toy. Because the toy is going to be way more expensive than those comics.
But if you look
are.
At history, when something big's about to happen, 6 months to a year prior, you're getting that toy or that statue coming out. And it's been repeated over and over again. And it's just something that's, I don't know why, but that's how it seems to go. If you see a weird character pop up in a toy line, normally they're going to be in a movie or a comic book or something like that.
Like a movie, I get. A movie, absolutely, I get. It just doesn't make sense to.
But you also have to remember that that's normally the gateway into getting approval from actors for their likeness.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. So they get the likeness rights, and they're like, "Oh, we have it now. Let's. What else can we do with this?"
And that's an interesting idea. You work out that money,
because I know she's going to play a role. Selena Kyle's going to play a role. We're also going to get a cool Harvey Dent Two-Face storyline, apparently, as well. And remember, that was a big deal to Lando. What's Lando's name? I can't think of
Billy
his name.
D.
Billy D. Williams. Billy D. was originally supposed to get a chance to be Two-Face. Like, it was
he got paid.
Like, yeah, it was supposed to be the third movie, wasn't it?
Yep.
It was supposed to.
Yeah,
like,
so he got paid for Batman Forever because he was supposed to get the opportunity to turn it down, and they didn't even give him that. So they paid him his rate for that movie, and it caused a rift between him and Tommy Lee. And then Tommy Lee has been quoted saying he wished he never did it because he had such a terrible time filming that movie.
Yeah.
He hated Jim Carrey.
I
he
love
hated
that
Joel.
Story. I hate you. When they see they run into each other at a restaurant and he hugs him and whispers in his ear, I hate you. The most Tommy Lee Jones thing I've ever heard.
And it's the most Jim Carrey thing, because if you haven't, most people don't take him seriously as an actor, but if you want to see how serious of an actor Jim Carrey is, watch the documentary about Man on the Moon.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
and you will see that he isn't just a funny man making faces. He is a legit true actor that honed his craft, and he was in character for that movie, and he drove Tommy Lee Jones freaking nuts.
Well, and I know Billy Dee Williams, like, it was such a big deal that he got a chance to be Two-Face that in the Lego Batman movie, they made sure he voiced Two-Face. Yeah. Just to give him that moment. So the fact that we're getting a little bit more Billy Dee as Two-Face is just awesome. Like, I love that. It's probably my favorite part of this book.
All right, so how about what's the rollout of the book? What's happening? So it's going to be 6 digital chapters starting on July 27th. And then it's going to culminate with a graphic novel, I believe.
We're going to get hardcover collections, which Mashka just ordered them for me when they're announced. That's something that I'm going to want a hardcover version of.
Me too. Yeah, I agree.
I'm really excited. This is the nostalgia going on right now with these two characters. I'm still my favorite Batman, still Christian Bale, but I will never forget that Batman, because as a kid, you know, having all the toys, like, it definitely kicks you in the nostalgia. And then Christopher Reeves is Superman.
Oh, 100%.
Sorry, Christopher Reeve. I don't know why I said Reeves. I did your adding an S to the end of their name thing.
But, John's.
But just seeing this is really, really cool. And I think we will get to see what the story was supposed to be and let Tim Burton finally be like, okay.
Well, Tim Burton's not really involved. It's just set
he
in
was
world.
Involved with the story that the writer was going to write.
He's writing a new one.
He's going to go.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to pull from the bag.
Yeah.
I'm sure, but I mean, there's no guarantee that this is the same. Like, I doubt we were getting a Robin. That seems like they just put it in there. No. It also would be very interesting to see if this ties the gap between the original Batman movies and the Arrowverse crossover when we find out that he marries Selina Kyle. So it'll be interesting if this tells the story that leads into Crisis of Infinite Earth.
Or if that's an even another reality.
Oh, interesting. All right. Let's get in. This is going to take a second to explain. So let's get into what's going on with the King in Black. I will do my best to make this as easy as possible, but this is going into some weird cosmic stuff here. So King in Black, first off, spoiler alert. I'm going to spoiler alert for all of King in Black, but the big reveal for number 4. Because in issue 3, we knew the Silver Surfer showed up, and he was talking about the God of Light, and the God of Light is something that they've been teasing for a while. The God of Light goes back several years now, and it actually ties into Jason Aaron's Thor run when Gore the God Butcher was first created, and he saw Null fighting the Golden Warrior, and apparently there's a whole bunch of Golden Warriors. Well, it turns out that the light that they're referring to, the opposite of Null, and before the universe was created, was the Enigma Force. And the Enigma Force, for longtime Marvel fans, is a big deal. The Enigma Force is what creates Captain Marvel. And there's been many, 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 many people who've gotten the Enigma Force. It is one of the most ex machina things to ever show up in comics, because you'd be like, how is a character going to win? And then, boom, the Enigma Force shows up. They become Captain Universe. And now Spider-Man.
Captain Marvel or Captain Universe?
Captain Universe.
Okay.
He's able to literally, like, Spider-Man at one point punched Hulk into the atmosphere, like into space. Just a little uppercut. Knocked him into space. So the Captain Universe, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, he's by far the most powerful person in the room. I mean, I guess it really depends on who it goes on to, because sometimes it only, like, makes the power of the one character stronger, but sometimes they give all sorts of crazy abilities. I guess it depends on what the writer wants. But the Enigma Force originally comes from the micro comics, the Microverse, back when that was the thing for Marvel. And the Microverse is, you know, where the quantum realm and all that for Ant-Man and the Wasp, that's where that all comes from. But it seems like Donny Cates is rewriting all that. So none of the old Microverse stuff seems like it makes anything to do with it. Or the Micronauts or whatever the hell they were called.
Yeah, you kind of sound like the guy from the Micro Machines commercial right now.
Oh, do I? I'm trying to get through
it. Pretty amazing.
I'm trying to get through it. So what we learn in this new book is that before the universe was created, before the Celestial showed up and started creating life that pissed Null off and he wanted to fight, creating the Necrosaur and the whole nine yards, there was an opposite in the void with him, which was just a beacon of light. And that light is Null's opposite. And when Null started coming to power, yeah, he created the sword to decapitate the Celestials. He created the symbiotes. The Enigma Force takes over an entire race of beings to create the Golden Warriors, the Golden Soldiers, to fight Null, who Null just beats them all. So the Nygma Force decided from that moment on, instead of trying to spread its power out to overwhelm Null, it's just going to give its power to one person. So that from then on is why we've got random Captain Universe characters. And what's interesting is by tying the Enigma Force into the Venom symbiote, they both do something very similar of taking over a host. Like they both bond with a host in different ways. So I find that as a kind of cool connection between what Venom has always been and a power that's been around for a very long time with the Enigma Force. It also feels a lot like the Phoenix Force.
Now, if they could take it and develop it into that where it has that kind of impact on corruption, because that's the big thing of the symbiote and, you know, seeing that power kind of corrupt. So seeing that Captain Universe power, if that starts corrupting almost like, you know, the Phoenix Force does, would be cool to play. Like, okay, you can defeat Null, but what's it going to do to that person that is going to defeat him?
But it doesn't ever stay with you. So once it has its opportunity to kind of move on, it does. So it's not like it seeks out a host and that's just Captain Universe from now on. I mean, there's
so it bounces around on its own.
Yeah, there have been like over 20 Captain Universes.
There's a joke in there somewhere, but it's just not coming to mind right now.
let's move.
Well, the big end of this is that, and which I can't wait for the next King in Black, is that Eddie Brock is now essentially a god. Eddie Brock was brought back to life by the Uni Power from the Enigma Force, which now creates a version of Venom that's by far the most powerful thing we've ever seen. Well, maybe not, because there was one where you like crushed the whole universe, but that was like, never mind. I mean, we don't even need to get into that. But a wildly powerful version of Venom.
I love that it's the Uni Power.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's instead of spreading it out, never mind. Let's
Uni Power.
Let's talk about what happened with Black Panther and the King of Black, though. I know a lot of people, and I saw the article, talks a lot about Shuri and how Shuri becomes a symbiote. And a lot of people become, like, a lot of Wakanda becomes a symbiote. But that's not what makes this book cool. What made this book cool was the Hand of Bass. The Hand of Bass was one of the coolest things I have ever seen out of a Black Panther comic. Do you know what I'm referring to in that book?
I read it today.
Okay.
I read this book today.
So, first off, Black Panther, biggest badass in the world, because he just told, like, at one point he just says goodbye, Null, and then Null's gone. Like, it's like all of Wakanda is being destroyed, and the first thing he does is he goes and grabs Ulysses Claw's arm, because you know that symbiotes are weak to sound, so it makes sense. But it's kind of like, all right, that's kind of, really, you're gonna take on Null with Claw? Like, that's not a big character. But anyway, so he grabs this and you think he's going to use it, but he holds onto it and never uses it the whole issue. And he tells Okoye, all right, you got to go get the Hand of Bass. And no one knows what the hell does that mean. Well, they power up the Hand of Bass. Null comes in with his giant dragon. It's not really Null, but it's this giant dragon, the Griftor, Grindor, Grendel. yeah, that a whole close to a very other word, a word hopefully I didn't say I might have. But what happens is the big dragon shows up and he goes, all right, Okoye now. And this giant psionic version, like that magic that Wakandans can use from vibranium, giant
big purple beast,
that panther breaks through like their main citadel and just takes this dragon on. So there's this giant purple Black Panther fighting this giant dragon, and as Null's coming close, what he does is, you know that force field that's over Wakanda, Null says, I'm gonna take over everybody. You see all the Wakandans falling, and it's pretty, looks like it's, anyway, he real cocky just goes by Null, shoots the gun in right up into the shield, which
shield
reverberates
thing, yeah.
It and just destroys all the symbiotes, all of them. So Wakanda is saved with a single shot that he set up from the beginning. So the giant purple Black Panther was just a distraction for him to get in place. Black Panther is just the biggest badass.
Is it just me, or have they taken Black Panther in the past 10 years from, like, he was a cool character that kind of had some power, more like just the anti-Captain America Tony Stark type guy? And like, oh, we're going to add this to him. Okay, now he gets this. Oh, by the way, he can do that. Like,
well,
he feels like Superman of Marvel right now.
Well, but that's been going on for a while. I mean, to be fair, he originally showed up in like black pajamas, and then all of a sudden he got all of the cool armor to make him stand up with the rest of the Avengers. And then all of a sudden there was the Wakandan magic where he was throwing spears and knives just out of nowhere. And now he's the King of the Dead. and he was able to hold the Infinity Gauntlet. Like, his story's been going on for a while, but if you think that Marvel just follows the MCU, the comics follow the movies, arguably, the other than Endgame and Infinity War, the most successful of the movies. Arguably. I mean, definitely critically. Mm-hmm. Unquestionably critically. So, of course, yeah. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. says it's the crown jewel of the MCU. So it would make sense that the comics are going to put Black Panther at a very different level than they ever have.
It's just, you know, you're watching like, okay, you expect one thing and they're like, oh, by the way, he now can wave his pinky and everyone bows.
Well, he's becoming their Batman. He's becoming more the Batman of Marvel than Moon Knight. Because he has contingency plans and gadgets for every... Dude, he had his own Hulkbuster just laying around. Like,
all right. Speaking of comics that case. I'm not going to read, thank God this one never, ever got made.
Don't say never, ever with Zack Snyder. You can't say that.
We'll start a petition. Following. Yeah, petition will start, and then you know we'll get it in 6 months.
So the story here is there's a couple books that he pitched to DC, and I think Jim Lee was actually the one to shoot the one down. He wanted to do two different books. He wanted to do a book of the death of Robin, so how the Joker killed Robin and what it did to Batman to make him the Dark Grizzled One. Kind of would like to read that. I would love to know that story. But the one that he was really pushing that I could really care less about was the nightmare scene in Justice League. He wanted to expand on that in a longer story. So it would also explain the Flash we saw that showed up in BVS would actually be from this book. So the Joker was going to essentially steal the cosmic treadmill with the help of Flash and Cyborg back when they were supposed to have. Remember they had that buddy movie? And I have a feeling this is connects to that because the two of them show up in this dark universe that was like the nightmare universe.
Instead, we get the Snyder cut of his movie, which isn't the original cut he planned. It's all the crap he wanted to do. So I have a feeling we're getting a lot of nightmare in this movie.
Oh, we're getting a whole lot of nightmare. Later on, we're going to talk about Joker Jesus. I mean, there's we got plenty to talk about.
Can we talk about fun comic news real quick?
Well, okay. So should we pause for the reaction now or pause for the reaction later?
Let's pause later.
Okay. So
let's drop the news and then drop the reaction.
Well, so let's talk about Familiars for a second. And that book, so you, as you may or may not have heard, and if you haven't heard, go back and listen to the last issue. We had an outstanding talk with Garrett Gunn. Garrett Gunn of Sourcepoint Press, who's done a million books. He's also, I think this one's with Izzy Comics. I think that's what it's called. Point being is he's done work for a lot of people and he's got a lot of crazy things going on with Franklin and Ghost now becoming a TV show with, Billy Bob Thornton. And now it looks like he's going to have a potential motion comic and maybe even show another show under his belt with Familiars, which I heard him say on Facebook is Pokemon for adults, which really cool way to word it. But essentially, it's people who connect to giant beasts and use them to gain power and fight. It seems like a very cool book. But he is now going to be getting what's the dude's name? I don't watch a lot of anime, so I know this is going to be more important to other people, but from My Hero Academia, which I could not point out of a lineup if you put all those covers in front of me and just covered the name. But I do know that is a wildly important book to anime fans. But one of the things that Gunn said was, more than anything, Familiars is about friendship. It's about the idea that nobody reaches their dream alone. And it's the bonds that we make and the connections that we build to others, our community, and to nature that help us grow. The base of the story is adult Pokemon. And I'm just so thrilled for this dude. I mean, that's the reason we added this story for the most part, is I just love that guy. And I just want to see that dude succeed.
Truth.
So, his reaction on Facebook was so funny, we asked him to elaborate on that. So, here's Garrett Gunn finding out about this news.
Okay, so, some of you guys might have seen the CVR article, and it's really hard to contain your excitement when cool places talk about your books, like Familiars getting cast and going to be a proof of concept for a TV show. Bro. Bro! Yes.
All right. Let's talk about some awesome TV news. So WandaVision and the fact that we're all kind of closeted Modern Family fans.
Listen.
Weren't we before though?
What's up?
I always liked that show.
I did and didn't. I was cool when it was on, but recently I've been binging it ever since it hit Hulu, and I am in love with that show.
I saw the theme right off the bat, and then I thought to you, Maurer, and you said you just started watching it, really?
Yeah, so I'm on season 4,
mm-hmm.
and I just started watching it when it came on Peacock. What was that, last week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was funny. I watched like 3 episodes of Modern Family just as I was going into this episode of WandaVision. And even Mrs. Maurer turned and was like, oh my God, she nailed Julie Bowen. Like,
mm-hmm.
the mannerisms, the to voice, like she was Julie Bowen in this, this show. And it was amazing. Even like the furniture and the certain key elements of the kitchen, which we'll get into later, but mm-hmm. it was really cool to see Ms. Dumphy as Wanda.
Well, did you see what she wrote? Julie Bowman wrote on Instagram. So she wrote, 1 year to the day since we wrapped Modern Family, and tonight we are a part of WandaVision. They paid homage to I Love Lucy, Bewitched, The Brady Bunch, among others, and to see our show as a quote-unquote classic through the eyes of the incredibly innovated Marvel show left me speechless. From the breaking of the fourth wall to the fabric of the couch. Wow. What a great way to celebrate a bittersweet anniversary.
So a year ago, I would have been like, why the hell are they doing Modern Family?
And The Office. And The Office. They definitely did a little Office in that intro.
Yeah, the theme. Or the
but
intro.
After becoming a fan, I'm like, all right, this show definitely holds up. So
All right, it's time to rapid fire some news. First thing is Avengers Assembled, which looks like it's going to be somewhat cool. It's going to be the behind the scenes.
Marvel Studios Assembled, I thought.
My bad. Marvel Studios. Yeah, it's just called Assembled. I just threw Avengers in there because you kind of have to say them together.
Avengers.
You just disassembled the title.
Assembled. Avengers,
okay. Great story.
Great story. But anyway, Assembled is going to be a behind the scenes documentary on Marvel properties moving forward. So very similar that we saw with The Mandalorian, that we got a lot of those backgrounds, behind the scenes stories that we got from that. This is going to follow suit, and it's probably going to just continue with every show that we have coming out. There's not but so much, but we know the first one's going to be about WandaVision, and it's going to be a Disney Plus show.
I wish they would have done more like the first season of The Mandalorian one, where it's multiple episodes. Having just one episode to recap the entire second season of The Mandalorian felt kind of cheap.
I don't think that Disney needed it as much because they had nothing else going on at the time because COVID stopped everything and everyone else is like, all right, The Mandalorian was cool, but I've seen all these in VHS form like 45 million times. I need something new. So they were trying to stretch that as much as they could, but now they got WandaVision and with Falcon and the Winter Soldier right around the corner, they don't really need to stretch things out as much.
The dominoes have been tipped.
Yeah. We're
just going to go from one into the next and the next and the next.
100%. All right, nice. So remember we talked about Wonder Girl, the new Yara one, the from Future State. That was originally going to get a CW show, but no. So that's right. That's been canned. So that's not a thing. Don't look forward to Wonder Girl because that's finished. Finito.
The world's worst Marvel actor turned down a role in Walking Dead.
Well, it's not even that he turned down a role in The Walking Dead. They turned him down. So
who? I don't see who
he's
it is.
Not even a good enough actor to play a zombie.
Well, so Dave Bautista really wanted to play. He loves zombie stuff. So he said in an interview that he tried repeatedly to become a zombie on The Walking Dead. And every time they get back to him, just say, you're too damn big. Like, no one's going to believe this giant ass zombie's running around. No one's going to.
No, it would have been cool if he was like pinned like somebody his side at like a gym.
Oh, that would be cool.
And like they're going in for like
it could have even been princesses. Did you? I mean, oh, you didn't watch the last season. So when you first meet Princess, she's so she's so distraught for the fact that she's the only person alive in her city that she captures zombies and then changes them up to look like the mailman getting the mail out of the mailbox.
Oh, like I Am Legend.
Very similar with the all zombies.
Yeah.
So she chains all these zombies up just so she can walk around the town and feel like there are people. Or so she says hi to them and stuff as she goes past.
Side note, AMC Plus, first episode of the new season or the third part of season 10 came out this past weekend.
So, oh, did it? Okay.
Yeah, you could check it out on the 28th. I think it actually drops on AMC. Not a bad episode. Not a bad episode.
I will sign up. I signed up last time thinking that it was coming around the corner and it wasn't, and then I just let it die out, but I will absolutely sign up again. But yeah, it would be fun to see David Bautista. Well, apparently there's a lot of cameos from a lot of actors as zombies. You just never know it's them. Apparently, like, every season's got some pretty crazy actors playing zombies. Yeah. You just have no idea it's them, and they don't talk about
Scott
it.
Scott Ian's been a zombie. There's been a lot of really cool
Simon
people.
Pegg.
Yep.
All right. Moving on from there, let's talk about Amazon's new Kirkman show. His Kirkman cartoon with Invincible, which is Kirkman's first superhero book, but his biggest superhero book, definitely, which is going to be a very adult show. I want to make sure that is said and stated, because I don't see a lot saying that it is. And if you watch the trailers make it look like there's a little bit of blood, but for the most part, it's like a kid's cartoon. And let me tell you, this is one of the bloodiest, most violent superhero books ever made. So brace yourself for that one. It's going to seem pretty childish at first. Then you're going to see arm shattering and limb being ripped off. And it gets pretty, pretty brutal. But it's essentially about a kid who has a Superman for a dad, and he's waiting for his powers to show up. He gets bullied a lot, and then all of a sudden, boom, he becomes invincible, and mayhem ensues from there. I'm very excited. It's going to be pretty good. Let's move on to the next story.
All right. Winter Soldier has some news. Majka, you want to tell us how awesome this is?
Yeah, so this is my vote for worst story of the week. There are people out there that are thinking that Zemo's mask is actually inspired by another MCU villain. So the mask he's always had is purple. Thanos is purple. They're thinking there's some kind of homage happening, you know, with that. And I don't buy that whatsoever. I think it's just the mask. If it turns out being something else, then fantastic. Like
you're not explaining that at all to why it could possibly be a deal for Zemo. You're just saying that the mask is purple. The concept behind the theory, which I think actually holds weight, because knowing the MCU Zemo, he picks a purple mask with the lines in it to represent Thanos, the one villain who killed most of the Avengers. So the reason he's doing it is as an insult to the Avengers. That has more weight to it than he it's purple, so it's Thanos.
You know who would come up with a theory like that? Felix Hergood, just so he can make something connect.
It's canon.
You know, they did that thing so the other thing connected. Shut up.
But apparently the chemical, it's adhesive X, or as we like to call Gorilla Glue, and it fused to the person's face and
keep it away from your hair.
Left them scarred there.
All right, let's get into some movie news. I'm going to butcher this last name. Is it Sasha Kale or Kali?
This is more my story. So I have I'm an avid Young and the Restless fan. Watch it almost every day. Okay. I've been watching it pretty much every day.
Good to know.
So actress Sasha Kale, she plays Lola, who is one of the younger, you know, people on the show. She actually is a prominent chef in the city of Genoa City, and she runs a restaurant there. But anyway, she's been cast.
Nobody cares about this. The rest of the show.
Has she ever been blonde?
No, and I don't think she will be.
Wigs even exist, bro. It's not that.
Anyway, we saw how well that worked out for Jessica Alba.
But she has been cast now as Supergirl in the new Flash movie.
Yep.
I'm gonna give it a pass because at first I was making fun of soap actors and actresses, but we got Nathan Fillion from soaps. We got the guys from Supernatural from soaps.
Did you see the video of her being told that she's gonna be Supergirl? If that's not the most adorable video.
She's a very likable person, awesome. Which is
at one point
rare.
He goes, hey, can you, so I got one last question for you. Can you fly? And she went, are you serious? And he goes, yeah, can you fly? And he goes, well, no. And they pull up the Superman costume and they go, well, you're probably going to need this and that'll help. And then they go, you got the role. And she freaks for a second and she stops and she goes, can I just freak out for a moment? she turns over. I guess she thought the interview ended for a second because she turns over. She goes, I got it. And then just starts air punching for a while. And then she comes back over and she's like teary eyed, like it's such a big deal. But even
you could definitely tell she was on set too. Like she was probably between scenes. You saw like the board in the back with all kinds of stuff on it. So
here's the problem I have with this, and it leads into the next piece of news. we have really good actors for these roles that have put the time in to bring them kind of to the forefront again, and we're recasting. So we have a Supergirl who I didn't like the show, but she, the actress from CW,
Melissa Benoist.
She really won me over, and she had a fun attitude about it. And now we have the person we've been fighting for, who has been fighting for this role in Constantine, is being recast in that movie.
Oh, TV show, and, isn't it?
Justice League.
Well, no, it's
a TV show.
I believe this isn't Dark Justice League. This is a Constantine show that goes with the Dark Justice League.
It'll HBO tie Max. With it. So he'll be in the Dark Justice League probably too. But Matt Ryan has done such an amazing job fighting and getting canceled and fighting and really like pulling the line for Constantine and giving the fans what they want. And he gets to the finish line and they're like, by the way, thanks. We're going to recast this now.
And as much as I agree with you, because Matt Ryan should absolutely be Constantine, unquestionable, that's who should be Constantine. And if not, then we go Keanu. But even then, I'd still prefer Matt Ryan. Here's the nice thing about a multiverse, though. That doesn't mean Matt Ryan can't come back. Like before, if this was DC 10 years ago, that would be the end of Constantine, of Matt Ryan as we know it. But if this show comes out and it does bad, then Matt Ryan's probably coming back. It's just putting that out there. And by the way, Melissa, the CW star for Supergirl, almost immediately when that video came out of her accepting, put up a post saying how excited she is for her, and that
she's an amazing person.
Yeah, and the two of them had a back and forth that was awesome. So I agree. I like her a lot as Supergirl. All right.
We got John Wesley Shipp, the Flash that won't quit, appearing as the Flash yet again.
Won't stop.
In a fourth show, I guess this is now. So he will now have been Flash in four shows, because wasn't he on Legends for an episode?
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. I feel like everybody
was on
Legends.
Yeah, I believe so. When everybody came back.
Fifth show, because he's been on Flash, Arrow, Legends, and now he's going to be on Stargirl Season 2, which Stargirl Season 1 was awesome.
I still never finished it.
It's really good.
I have no reason not to finish it because I liked what I saw, but for some reason I just wasn't gripped by it. And the more I learn about Geoff Johns' reason for writing it, for his like a dedication to his sister, like the more I like the story. But for some reason it fell to the wayside. Like a lot of, I thought, good shows, like Cloak and Dagger was good, fell to the wayside. Didn't finish that.
If we can find it, maybe we can put it in thing. When we first talked about that first episode, and me talking about and you clicking like why they played the music they did in the beginning of the first episode, your reaction to that was the best reaction I've ever seen you have.
Why? I don't even remember.
Because you were like, oh, that makes sense. Like you just got all soft and mushy. You're like, I didn't like it before, but now it means something to me.
You give me back, like to this day, my favorite songs are songs that my friends wrote just because I know the backstory. Give me the backstory. Yeah. I appreciate things so much more. It goes, remember I told you before, I love comic documentaries. Because I like knowing the backstory. All right, let's talk about Joker Jesus. Let's get that out of the way. So Joker Jesus is a thing. The Zack Snyder. It's Jared Leto as Joker with Crown of Thorns looking real Jesus-y. Yeah, so I guess that's going to be involved in the Justice League movie. I don't know when that was taken.
Well, it's just as good as his idea of originally wanting Bruce Wayne and Lois Lane to be shacking up together. Like,
well, wasn't Batman supposed to die? Wasn't he also supposed to die? So I could see that. I could see him doing something like the two of them get together for like a quick thing. Then he dies. And then now the next Superman movie is dealing with the fact that Lois got with Batman. And like, I could see that. I could see where he was going with it, but it's a bad idea.
He doesn't respect anything about these characters, in my opinion.
Yeah, but that's the nice thing about having a multiverse. He can do what he wants with them. Like, that's the thing. Tell a unique, like,
you
for
can
example,
do what you want.
Here's a great example. American Alien by, what the hell's that guy's name? The dude who wrote Chronicle, Max Landis, right? The guy who, I think he's a good writer, but I have a feeling if we ever met, we would not get along.
Because he's a douchebag?
but
take him off the list for interviews.
But I will tell you right now, American Alien, his take on the origin of Superman was awesome. I loved that book. So he didn't use much of the original story. He changed a lot around, but it's okay to take some risks. Like, I know you don't like do you like Elseworlds stories, right?
I do, but I like Elseworlds world stories that still respect the source material. Like, you can change whatever you want as long as it doesn't feel like you're shitting on it.
So, like, did you like him?
Yes.
So, like,
but it just feels like Zack Snyder is not doing it for, like, out of a good place. It feels like he's doing it out of, like, a, I'm better than what this was.
Oh, I just think he wants to leave his mark. I think he's probably just looking for things. He's looking for connections and uniqueness, which is the downfall, I think, of the story, because the connection was Martha, dumb, and then the uniqueness was things like, you know, Batman would get raped in prison. No one wants to see that. Sure, it's unique, but that doesn't mean it's good.
How much of this do you think is actually original thought, or if it's, oh, I have another chance at this, let me think up some really crazy stuff and just let it out there.
Who knows, man? It was a four-hour movie. It was a four-hour movie, and he had plans for, like, six others. Like, so he pitched all of them. He pitched a whole crap ton of movies. I'm feeling
we're getting a lot of pieces from the other movies he's not going to be able to do into this movie, which is why we're getting rumors of a mind-blowing Green Lantern.
Well, not Green Lantern. Everyone just kind of is assuming Green Lantern. Apparently, there's a huge cameo at the end, and then he wrote Unite the Seven, I believe, with the, you're going to see it's a crazy cameo, and who is one of the Justice League members that we haven't met yet, knowing that we already have Martian Manhunter in the fold. So we already have six. So who would be the seventh? Got to be Green Lantern. It has to be.
Yeah. Well, remember, originally it was Unite the Seven.
Trailers and the posters. It's Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Flash, right? Aquaman. Yeah. And am I missing somebody? Or was it Martian Manhunter was originally supposed to be the seventh?
Martian Manhunter was going to be the seventh.
So, unless Martian Manhunter doesn't actually join, and we just find out that, you know, John Johns is there, and then we get the seventh being Green Lantern. But no one knows that. That's just a rumor. It's been trending on Twitter for a while now. But again, that's just a rumor.
And reportedly, I want to end on this because we're way over time again. The fact that Danny Elfman is scoring Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Super excited.
Oh my God. I've talked about it many, many times. To me, the scores of movies can make or break them. Junkie XL breaking them. Danny Elfman and Hans Zimmer making them. So my favorite Marvel property with my favorite, you know,
composer,
orchestral score. Like, this is good.
We got to throw one more story in because I don't want to be tagged in this article anymore. No, Jennifer Lawrence is not playing Sue Storm. That was debunked. And they flat out said, look, they haven't even finished the script yet. They're definitely not casting.
Yeah, they just started a writers' meeting for it. Two, I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound a little mean. If you're reading CBR and you don't look at who they're quoting, you deserve to be duped right now, because they're taking any story they can find and being like, this is news. Please click.
You know how every once in a while we do shows and we go, man, the news is light, and we just struggle to get a show out, and we just like throw a lot more dumb jokes in? They don't. They just find, like, when the Mortal Kombat trailer dropped, they wrote 17 articles on things from the trailer, like Goro revealed in the new trailer. Yeah, you can just say in the first Mortal Kombat trailer drops. That's one article.
If you ever see reportedly or may or rumored in any title, just completely skip it. Move on to the next story, because it's not even worth reading.
Unless it's the Latino review.
If they ever come back, 100%. I don't know what happened with them, but they were truth in a pen.
All right. On that note, Menti. Oh, wait. For the listeners, this Friday, we're doing another recap of WandaVision. So we'll have the last three episodes all in one big thing. And Mojo Jojo and Frank will be back.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Menti, do that.
You can find the show at Welcome to Fireside everywhere online. That's at Welcome to Fireside of your social media choice, unless it's Twitter, which is Fireside Crew. And if you enjoy the content, we appreciate the support. Please feel free, like, comment, rate, subscribe. It all goes a long way. And honestly, the more you do it, the better it helps us. So if you want to help us out, go ahead and comment, like, subscribe, share, all that stuff. And, you know, Maurer's going to tell you to spend money too. That always helps. Once again, I'm Menti.
And I'm Moshko, and you could spend money at MoshkoCollectibles.com if you like. That's the only plug for that. Yeah, check out YouTube. We're going to have more videos popping up. We're going to try to do every show on there. That's the goal, and that's it for now.
And that's Moshko, that's still where you find Fireside merch, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you go to Welcome to Fireside and just click.
Yeah, we're going to start rolling out some new stuff. I found a better supplier. So we'll have some cooler stuff.
I got to get my hoodies. And I'm Mr. Maurer. Don't forget to go to welcometofireside.com. Click on that shop button. Click on that Amazon link. Give us some money. Don't forget bpumenti.com is still a thing. It will never go away. I'm really excited to be back. So